Zephaniah chapter 1. We're going to read verses 9 through 18. I'm going to preach a message this morning entitled this, The Great Day. The Great Day. Now, as we read through here, I understand the context of the scripture is dealing with Israel and is referring to the time when Nebuchadnezzar will carry away the children of Israel into captivity. But this also is referring to another great day. And as we read through here, we'll talk about that here in just a moment. Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 9 through 18, the Bible says this, "In the same day also will I punish all those that leap on the threshold, which fill their master's houses with violence and deceit. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. How ye inhabitants of Maktesh, for all the merchant people are cut down, and they that bear silver are cut off. And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles, and punish the men that are settled on their lees, that say in their heart, The Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. Therefore their good shall be become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near, and hasteneth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as the dung. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy, for he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land." Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your word, God. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts through it this morning. God, I pray as you promised, Lord, that your word will not go out void, but God, it will return and accomplish the work that you've sent it to do. And Lord, I pray that you'd do a work this morning in the hearts, Lord, of the folks here in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Everybody has important or great days that have happened to them throughout their lives. Maybe it was the day as a kid that you got that Christmas present you were dying to get. Maybe it was the day for some of you teenage boys when you could shave for the first time. You know, I remember that day, and some of you are still waiting for that day to come, all right? Maybe it was the day when you got your driver's license, or maybe you graduated high school or college. For us that are married, it had better have been the day when we first laid our eyes on our spouse for the first time. That better have been a great day. And let's just move on, okay? I'm sure it was a great day when you held your firstborn child in your hands for the first time. Or for some of you, or for some of us, I should say, our third or fourth or fifth or sixth, or Brother Abel, even your seventh, all right? I'm sure that was a great day in your life, all right? All of us have had what we consider as great days. You know, there have been many significant days in that of human history. Days where things have happened, whether right or wrong, that have had a drastic effect on the course of how history was to be played out. Here's a list comprised from the opinions of a secular professor and would reflect what the world would see as important days. Moses and monotheism, enlightenment of Buddha, the beginning of democracy, the death of Jesus Christ, Constantine wins a battle, Muhammad moves to Medina, Black Death pandemics, Columbus finds a new world, Michelangelo accepts a mission, Martin Luther's new course that changed history, defeat of the Spanish Armada, Battle of Vienna, the Battle of Lexington, Charles Darwin takes an ocean voyage, Louis Pasteur cures a child, two brothers take flight, the day the stock market crashed, Hitler becomes Chancellor of Germany, Franklin D. Roosevelt becomes president, the atomic bomb is dropped, John F. Kennedy is assassinated, September 11, 2001. No doubt these days had an impact on our world, but there's never been a day that will have a bigger impact than the great day we're going to talk about today. Let me define for you what the scripture is referring to when it talks about the great day. Ever since God created this earth some 6,000 years ago and started this thing called life, he has had plans to bring it all to an end. You see, everything started with God, folks. And may I say this, praise His name, everything will end with Him also. You see, God says this about Himself and several times throughout the Bible. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, God makes this proclamation, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty." Now, as a Christian, when you hear that verse read, that'll give you some hope. That ought to encourage your heart. Again, God says in Revelation 22, verse 13, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." You know, folks, when you look around at the circumstances and uncertainties of life, aren't you glad that this earth isn't going to last forever? You know what? I'm thankful that this earth and this world and everything that's about it is not all there is to look forward to. You know, God has already planned it out how things are going to end. You see, despite what Hollywood tries to get people to believe, the world's not going to end with a giant meteor hitting the earth, or with super volcanoes erupting around the planet, or with some galactic lineup in 54 days on December 21st. Okay? It's going to end the way it all began, and that is simply with God. It's going to end with God. You see, when we see the scripture referring to the great day, by the way, you can't deny it all throughout the Bible, the great day. It's referring to not necessarily a specific day, although there are specific days included in it, but it's actually referring to a time period with many important events taking place within this set time. It's a time where God begins to drastically interfere with what we consider as everyday normal life and sets in motion His plans, according to the Bible, to put an end to this world. This great day will begin with the rapture of the church and will end with the destruction of this earth by fire. Some of these events will be sudden, others will be preceded by signs, but make no mistake, Christian, every part of this day will be sure. Every part of this day will be sure. And this morning I want to preach about this subject, the great day. The great day. Number one, we find that the Bible teaches that it will be a great day of wrath. A great day of wrath. Take your Bibles, go to the book of Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. I'm really not trying to scare you this morning. I'm not trying to use scare tactics or anything like that. I just want to simply bring the truth that I know God laid on my heart to bring you this morning. Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17. Let's look what the Bible says here. "And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when it is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" You see, folks, this day of wrath will be so great that there will be no longer be laws banning prayer. In fact, we see right in these verses we just read, a prayer meeting that takes place that encompasses every kind of person from all walks of life. We find that the rulers of the earth will be praying. We find that the important and rich people will be praying. We find that the strong and mighty of society will be praying. The weak and the poor will be praying. But the wrath of God will be so great on this day that they won't be praying to a merciful, loving God. But instead, they're praying to the mountain in which they are hiding to fall on them and cover them so they will not have to face the wrath of the Lamb that has come on this great day. You see, the Bible warns us in several places, Job's 21:30, that the wicked is reserved to the day of destruction. They shall be brought forth to the day of wrath. Proverbs 11:4, riches profit not in the day of wrath. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 15, that day is a day of wrath a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Romans 2, chapter 5 tells us this, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treaderest up to thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. You see, folks, right now people misjudge the character of God. They think that just because God allows them to get by with their sinfulness, that he will not hold them accountable for it. By the way, thank God that he's a God of mercy and doesn't strike us dead every time we do things we shouldn't. You know, God shows his goodness and mercy in hope that people will turn to him. You see, the Bible tells us this about God in Romans 2, 4, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You look around, you see all that's going around on this earth, and sometimes you just feel like that, you know what, people get by with their evilness, they get by with their wickedness. God, why aren't you doing something about it? Folks, may I say this, the day of wrath is coming. You know what, folks, God is merciful. God extends his mercy, God extends his goodness. Why? Because the Bible clearly tells us that in doing so, it leads men to repentance. In spite how wicked this world is, I know we all think this, why doesn't God just kill all these evil people with lightning bolts or cause the ground to open up or something like that? Why is that? Why does God not do that? Well, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, 9, but God is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Folks, God is such a merciful, loving God. He wants all people of all walks of life to accept him. I'm so thankful that God is a merciful God. I'm glad that he's not just merciful to this wicked world, but he's merciful to me also. Folks, we all need the mercy of God. We all need his mercy. You know what? My sin and your sin is no different than that of a wicked world. You know, I deserve to burn in hell for my sin just as much as the most wicked person alive on this earth. We all deserve God's mercy. But may I say this? A mistake is made in the minds of people who underestimate the fact that God will not deal with sin and judgment, and that he will overlook sin, that God will not make sure sin is taken care of. Because, folks, let me say this, one day, on this day of wrath, his wrath will be poured out. Now, let me take you to another passage. Go to Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. Notice here as we read about this, the wrath that God is pouring out. Notice how it's described in verses 9 through 11. Look what it says here. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receiveth his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Notice what it says here in verse 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And I should be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day and night who worship the beast and his image and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Notice what it says in verse 10. The wine of the wrath of God which is poured out without mixture. We ask ourselves the question, without mixture of what? Very simply, without mixture of mercy. There's no mixture of mercy in God's wrath as it's poured out. It will be a day of great wrath. Man has never seen the wrath of God like they will see during this time. Although throughout the Bible, there's many stories and instances where God uses his wrath dealing with the human race. The only thing that those stories don't have in common with this one is the fact that the wrath will be poured out without mixture. All throughout God's dealing with mankind, when he's had to pour out his wrath upon them, he's always shown wrath and mercy. But during this day, there will be no mercy mixed with his wrath. It will be a great day of wrath. Not only that, the Bible says this, it will be a great day of judgment. A great day of judgment. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 6, verse 11, and whosoever, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear you when you depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Clearly throughout Scripture, God warns mankind there is a coming day of judgment. 2 Peter 2:9, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. 1 John 4:17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in the world. How many times have you heard this phrase before? God loves people too much to send them to a place called hell. God is only a God of love. Well, people who say this obviously don't understand the truth about sin and the character of God. Let's say, for example, that in your neighborhood was a murderer that kills at will. He has no preference with his victims. He kills men, women, children with no warning or remorse. Imagine that you know who he is, and you've called the police only to find that they already know who the killer is. Imagine that they've decided to let him continue killing. No penalty, no prosecution, no justice. Imagine the police telling you, we've decided just to be good on this one. A loving police department would never send anyone to prison. That doesn't make any sense to us when we put it in those terms. Well, folks, why would it make sense to us that a loving God not do something about all the terrible things that exist in this life? How could a loving God allow sin to go free and not take action? He can't and he won't. Because a great day of coming judgment will soon be here. We find this about the great day of judgment. We find that it will be a sure day of judgment. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, and that is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Notice God didn't say, but after this, purgatory. But after this, another chance. God says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. Folks, there's no escaping this judgment. Not believing in its existence will not change the fact of its surety. The atheist who denies that God is real will be there. The agnostic who has a warped view of who God is will be there. The occultist who believe that Satan is God will be there. All of the religions of this world with all their false beliefs will be there. And yes, even people who have been saved will be present for the judgment. You say, now wait a minute. Did you just say what I thought you said? Yes. Let me clarify in just a moment. All flesh that has ever been given the gift of life from the beginning with Adam and Eve to the last person that will be born will all be present at this judgment. It will be a sure day of judgment. We find this also in the scripture, that it will be a sorting day of judgment. All right? Go with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. A sorting day of judgment. The Bible tells us this, by the way, speaking to Christians. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. By the way, you know what God expects Christians to do? He expects them to labor. Okay? Now, we don't labor to be saved, but once you are saved, folks, you know, I don't know what you think the Christian life is, but it's not just a free ride to heaven. Now, I'm glad that's part of it. I'm glad that God punches our ticket and we get to go to heaven, but God expects us to labor, to be busy for Him. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For notice here, verse 10, for we, speaking of Christians, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Let me read to you another passage quickly. Romans 14. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now, may I let you know this. This is not, for a Christian, the judgment for our sin. That is not, this judgment is not to determine whether or not we will go to heaven. That was decided the day you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Praise the Lord for that. Rather, this is a judgment where you will have to face Jesus Christ and give an account of how you lived your life as a Christian. There's a reckoning day coming. That's why, Christians, it is important and it does matter why you do what you do after you're saved. It matters. That's why it's important that you talk, act, dress, and live like a Christian, because the day of reckoning is coming. Your eternal rewards will either be given or lost during this time of reckoning. 1 Corinthians tells us this, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day, the judgment day, shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. These verses teach us that as Christians, that we will stand before God in reckoning of our works as we did as a Christian. And if the works were built upon the proper foundation, if our works were done for Christ and they're tried by the fire, if they survive through that fire, that we'll receive a reward for them. But if our works were only done for ourselves, we never lived for God, we never took time to participate in the activities God tells us to participate in, we're never busy about doing God's work, the Bible says that work shall be burned. By the way, notice what it said, that work shall be burned. Hey, you know what? People do good works all the time. But as a Christian, our question should be, is that work good work for the Lord? Now, that doesn't mean God, we don't do other works. Okay, I mean, we all have to work and make a living. But God says, you better be working for me. Okay, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Loss of what? Loss of reward. Okay, so that reckoning day is coming, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Eternal security. Amen. And once God saves you, you're saved forever. So it'll be a sorting day of judgment. Saved people will be present at the judgment. Then we also find that there'll be a day of judgment for the lost. Turn with me, if you will, of course, to the passage that preachers reference often, Revelation chapter 20. And the Bible gives us a glimpse of the judgment for the lost here. Revelation chapter 20. Verses 11 through 13. Look what the Bible says. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You see, folks, when the lost stand before this judgment, it won't be for reward. It won't be for their stewardship as it is for the Christian. But it's rather to give an account of their sin. As the great judge, who is Jesus Christ himself, opens the book of records of how they live their lives, they will receive judgment accordingly. They'll have to answer to him as to why they lived how they did and why they never accepted him as Savior. Then after the judge has judged them according to their works, they'll be cast into the lake of fire and be there for all eternity. This is a sorting day of judgment. The saved will have to face Christ in judgment. The lost will have to face him in judgment. But not only that, we find this, it will be a sad day of judgment. It will be sad for all those that rejected Christ and are sent to the lake of fire for all eternity. It'll be sad for all those that are saved as we watch people who we never witnessed to but could have being thrown into the lake of fire for all eternity. It'll be a sad day of judgment as Christians we look at our Savior who gave his all for us and not be able to give an answer as to why we did not give our all for him. This will not be a fun day. In fact, the Bible says that God will wipe away all tears from our eyes for the rest of eternity. Did you ever wonder why there'd be tears in heaven? I'll tell you why. There'll be tears because of what happens as we face these times of judgment. There'll be tears in heaven. What a sad day of judgment. It'll be a great day of wrath. It will be a great day of judgment. But not only that, it will be a great day of vengeance. A great day of vengeance. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 34. Isaiah chapter 34. I'm going to read to you the first 8 verses of this chapter. Notice what God speaks to through his prophet Isaiah and says, come near, ye nations, to hear, and hearken, you people. Let the earth hear, and all that is therein, the world, and all things that come forth of it. For the, now notice the language God uses here. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out. Their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountain shall be melted with blood. That sound like a loving God to you? He is a loving God, but he's also the God of vengeance. Verse 4, and all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as a leaf falleth off from the vine, and a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomia, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Aduma. And the unicorn shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year recompenses for the controversy of Zion. You see, folks, God's made it clear in his word that he will be the one to exercise vengeance when his time is right. Isaiah 35:4 says this, say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with the recompense. He will come and save you. Isaiah 47, verse 3, thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance. I will not meet thee as a man. Isaiah 59, 17 and 18. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. Isaiah 63, I've trod in the wine presses alone, and the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in mine anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. For the day of vengeance is in my heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Folks, that is why it is wrong for people in the name of God to go around seeking vengeance themselves. That's why it's wrong for Christians to go around bombing abortion clinics and beating to death the sodomite crowd. You know what? As much as it makes me sick and want to vomit of all the perverts in our society, it's not my job to go on a killing spree to rid the world of their evils. That's God's job. He will take care of it in his time. This is a great day of vengeance. It will be so spectacular that God invites some guests to join him for his great day of vengeance. The Bible tells us this in Revelation chapter 19. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he said with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and them that sit on them, and the flesh of men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth. Notice here, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. You see, folks, when God exerts his vengeance upon the enemies, that the Bible says that the blood of his enemies will flow through a great valley where this battle happens and form a river. The Bible tells us that this river will be six feet deep, 200 miles wide, 200 miles long, and 10 feet wide. Think about that for a minute. Revelation 14, and the angel thrusting the sickle in the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horse's bridle, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. What a day. What a battle. What a river. What a God. That is why God reminds us over and over again in his word that vengeance is his. God in his time will seek the vengeance that is necessary upon this wicked earth. What a great day. What a great day of wrath. What a great day of judgment. What a great day of vengeance. Now I want to take the next just few moments and give us some help today. I believe that every time we preach, it ought to help. And we don't preach just to do it. We preach because the Word of God helps us. And I believe that as Christians, we need to make preparations for this great day. We need to prepare for this great day. Let me real quick just give you a few reasons, a few ways to prepare for this great day. Number one, first and foremost, make sure that you are saved. Make sure that you're saved. You see, God says this, I have heard thee in an accepted time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Folks, as long as we're still alive and as long as God delays the beginning of the great day, he still extends mercy. Today, mercy is extended. If you're breathing air and that trumpet hasn't sounded, God has extended mercy. And the only way to escape the horrors of God's wrath, judgment, and vengeance is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, folks, God loves everybody and does not want one person to have to experience the bad things that will come on that great day. That is why he allowed his Son to come to this earth and face the wrath, the judgment, and the horrible things that man did to him to pay for their sin debt. God poured out his wrath upon his Son so that his wrath would not have to be poured out upon mankind. But all those that reject Jesus Christ will have to face all of the horrors of God's wrath, judgment, and vengeance. I'm saying that all of us, we need to examine ourselves and make sure we've truly accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. What a shame for a church member who has grown up in church, for a young person who came here as a child and grew up as a teenager and went on to become a young adult. What a shame for anyone who grew up in church to have to face God in his day of wrath, judgment, and vengeance. What a shame. But may I say this, I have no doubt in my mind that there will be people who grew up in church that will face God in his wrath, judgment, and vengeance. Folks, make sure you're saved. Make sure you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Savior. Examine your heart. Make sure you have a heart belief and not just a head belief in Jesus Christ. Number two, how do we prepare for this great day? Number two is this, be the watchman God has called you to be. Be the watchman God has called you to be. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, take your Bibles. Go with me to the book of Ezekiel. We're in the Old Testament, just a few chapters over. Ezekiel chapter 33. Picking up in verse 6, the Bible says this, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, speaking to Ezekiel, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, the wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Folks, just as God sent the prophet Ezekiel to be his watchman to the house of Israel, God has called all of us as Christians to be his watchman to a lost and dying world. We should sound the signal of coming judgment to those in our lives. We can do this in a kind, compassionate, and effective way. Well, but we must be busy about sounding the signal. Now notice, God's very clear. It's not our job to make them turn from their wicked ways. That is God's job. But we are to warn them. That is why we have soul winning programs at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. That is why we send our buses out to pick up people in our communities. That is why everything we do here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church is centered around one thing, and that is sounding the alarm and telling people how to escape the wrath, judgment, and vengeance of the great day that is soon to come. My question to you is simple this morning. Are you being a watchman? Are you sounding the signal? Or are you busy sleeping? Or are you busy doing the things you want to do? Folks, listen to me. God says, I will require the blood at your hands if you do not sound the warning. You know, I wonder how many people, as we stand there on that great day, and as people are judged for their sin at that great white throne judgment, I believe Christians will be present. And I wonder how many of them will have to look at a Christian and say, why didn't you warn me of this coming judgment? Why didn't you warn me of this awful thing that's happening to me? How, you were with me all the time. You worked right beside me. How come I didn't know you were a Christian? Hey, you know what? We were neighbors. How come you never came over one time and tried to give me a gospel tract? How come you never came over one time and tried to warn me of the judgment to come? Maybe it'll be someone in our community, and they'll look at Blessed Old Baptist Church members and say, wait a minute. I know there were some people out knocking doors and doing their job, but you know what? My door never got knocked on. Maybe because you never came and helped do it. Why weren't you a part of trying to warn me of what's to happen? Folks, be the watchman that God has for us all to be. We all ought to be busy sounding the warning. We all ought to be busy being a watchman. And last of all, number three, how do we prepare for this great day? Don't be deceived into thinking that this day will not come. The Bible clearly teaches us that when this day comes, there will be Christians sleeping. There'll be people who have just kind of sombered away, thinking, being deceived in the fact that just because it hasn't happened in their lifetime, that it's not going to happen. Well, the Bible speaks of that. Go to 2 Peter. We'll end here. 2 Peter chapter 3. Let me read these verses to you to help stir you up a little bit. Encourage you to stir you up. 2 Peter chapter 3. Obviously, the folks that Peter's writing his epistle to have kind of forgot about the fact that of coming judgment. Maybe they've kind of thought maybe it's not going to happen. So he writes some words to stir him up. And here's what Peter wrote, of course, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. By the way, you know what, folks? We need to be stirred up. We need to be, as Christians, we need to be stirred up. Hey, you know what? That's the purpose of preaching, is to stir us up. You know, sometimes we get content, we get comfortable, and then God will send a preacher and send a message like this, and he'll say, hey, I'm trying to stir something up in you. And I pray that that's what's happening this morning. I hope you're being stirred up. Verse 2, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets. By the way, the words I just read to you this morning are the same words that these people read of the holy prophets. Most of the prophecy I read to you this morning came from the holy prophets. And of the commandment of us apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Where is he at? Where is the promise? He hasn't come now. What makes you think he'll come so that we should be ready? Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Here Peter cites example of the flood of Noah's day. Hey, by the way, judgment came then. You know what? For 120 years, Noah preached about coming judgment. He preached about something they'd never heard of before. He preached about something that they thought he was a nut job talking about. Hey, up to that point, water had never fallen from the sky. There was no such thing as rain. They had no idea what he was talking about. But you know what? That didn't keep the fact that the flood came. Look what it says, verse 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved into fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. You know what that verse is telling us? God doesn't work on our timetable. He works on his own timetable. Okay? Time is irrelevant to God. All right? Look what it says here then in verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Okay, well, I'm sorry, we just read that. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come. The day of the Lord will come. As a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things are dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in holy conversation and godliness? God says, because these things are going to happen, because these things are true, Christian, he asks, what kind of person should you ought to be? You ought to be holy in your behavior. You ought to be holy in godly living. Looking for and hastening into the coming day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved brethren, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Folks, do not be deceived into thinking that this day will not come. This day's come. This great day of wrath, judgment, and vengeance is coming. And as Christians, we better be busy doing what God wants us to be. We want to be busy reaching out. I would encourage you, if you're here this morning and you've never accepted Jesus Christ your Savior, what I'm talking to you this morning is not some Hollywood movie script. It's not some fairy tale book. It's the Word of God. And God promises these things are going to happen, and you need to be prepared by being saved. What do I mean by being saved? Am I talking about coming to church? Am I talking about being baptized? Am I talking about being added to the membership roll? Of course not. I'm talking about making sure your faith and trust is in Jesus Christ. Realizing you're a sinner. Realizing because you're a sin, you deserve hell. But the fact that Jesus Christ came, he died for you, he rose for you, and if you'll put your faith and trust in him, he will save you. I use this illustration every time I'm out soul winning. I'll always use this illustration to somebody because it kind of gets the point home. I say this, let's say you're out in the lake and you were drowning. And someone came by, you were calling for help, and someone came by and threw you out a life buoy. And that life buoy landed right in front of you. What would you have to do to be saved from drowning? They all say the same thing. All I'd have to do is reach out and grab that buoy. And young people, adults, listen to me. If you want to be saved, you haven't, all you got to do is reach out and grab that buoy. Jesus Christ is that life buoy that will save you from God's wrath, judgment, and vengeance to come. But you must accept him. As a Christian, if you're not serious about serving God, I'd get serious. Because if you hadn't noticed, that day's coming. And all the things that Jesus said would precede that day, they're happening right now. The day, the great day is coming.